Rav Chaim Volozhin, there lived a Yid by the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in the time of Rav Chaim Volozhin, was a Yid whose business was lumber. The man owned a forest with a lot of trees, and he was very matzliach, and he was very well known in all the areas as being a big oisher, tremendous oisher. But at the same time also, he was very, very generous. And would give a lot of tzedakah to anyone who stretched out his hand. This would be his anhoge. He would make business. He would give tzedakah and so on. It turned out that for some unknown reason, that after a while, all of a sudden, his business went totally under. And his tremendous ashiras that he had was totally lost. And it was a pele gadol because nobody could really pinpoint the actual reason why Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, why he had lost his ashiras. Looking at it from a business point of view, one cannot really understand and one cannot see such a tremendously great oisher, a great bal tzedakah. What happened here that all of a sudden that he lost all of his richness? Interesting is that based upon the order of Reb Chaim Volozhin, actually they set a bezin. And they set up a bezin meyuchid in order to check out the asokim, the business dealings of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, and maybe thereby to find out what caused this sudden turnaround that he became a yoyred minachosov, and he lost everything that he owned. The Dayanim sat through and they went through all of his hanhogis. They couldn't find any wrongdoing per se, that maybe this is samoynish min hashamayim. They couldn't find it. As they went through and looked at the various records, going back many, many weeks, months, and possibly years, and they could not find anything to be able to pinpoint that this might be a sibah, why he lost his ashiras. Lamaisa, it turns out, and they said that they found one avera, and they said it jokingly. Said if there's any avera to be found in Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in the way that he dealt with money, there was one avera. He was over on Divrei Chachamim. Chazal say hamevazvez al yevazvez yosef mechaymish. The maximum a person should give tzedakah should not give more than a fifth. He gave more than a fifth. That must be his only avera that he had. No, this man was such a tremendous bal tzedakah. He loses his nechosim. And Mamela Reb Chaim Volozhin came to a maskana that it cannot be. That of course this would be a sibah that he would be nena shavada, even though Chazal, like I said, hamavazas eivazas, there's certain aterim. Not to go into it now, this is a whole sugya about when sometimes it is mutter even to give more than a chaimish, but upon him, this certainly was not the sibah that he was punished in a shemayim, that he lost everything that he owned. In the meantime, this Ramosha, being that he was out of business, so what did he do? So therefore he decided he has time. So he spent his time most of the day in the Beis Medrash. And basically became sort of like a koyel yingama. He goes to the Beis Medrash and he sits and learns. And very quickly it turns out that he realized he was a tremendous Baal Kishrin. He had a tremendous mind. And he had a tremendous koyach in learning. And he was matzliach. And he was considered to be in the Beis Medrash in a short while as to be one of the greatest of all of the Lomdim around. This is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. In addition, he took his children and brought them with him to the Beis Medrash until his children turned out to be actually Gedolim B'Torah Mamish. Many years later, Rav Chaim Volozhin says, now I understand. He says, now I understand the sibe that why min hashemayim it turned out that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik should learn everything, should lose everything that he owned. It appears that Shemayim wanted to give him a legacy of Ge'onim B'Torah. By the way, out of him comes the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and the whole Shalshelis Brisk comes from Reb Moshe Soloveitchik again, who he lived at that time. He was in the Tkufa Reb Chaim Volozhin. And Shemayim wanted to give a legacy, that a great legacy of Ge'onim B'Torah should come out of this Reb Moshe Soloveitchik because he gave a lot of tzedakah. In other words, as a schar, what could be the greatest reward in a Shemayim? What would be the greatest reward in a Shemayim to give a Yid who is such a great Baal Tzedakah? The greatest reward would be that it should be Zoyche, that his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that they should be Ge'onim B'Torah, should be Gedolim B'Torah. However, said Reb Chaim, from Ashirim, you don't get such Ge'onim B'Torah. You have to learn Torah mitoychat chak. And therefore, in order to bring that about, that a Moshe's elevation should be aloy mitoychat mitoychat chak, so Shemaim took away all of his ashiris, but the reward for all of his tzedakah was that as a result, now, he'll be zoyche to have children and great-grandchildren which are going in b'toyre. That, says Reb Chaim, that is the interpretation, that is the pishon, that's the solution, that is what actually happened behind the scenes when Hashemayim was orchestrated, that the Moshe Soloveitchik, the great Osher, that all of a sudden he becomes an Oni, in order that now he himself becomes Aloy Metoyre Metoychat Chak, and out of him now will come the greatest Goyim b'toyre. Interesting that this Maisa was told by Shmuel David Varshavchik, who heard it from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. So it seems that this is Mekubal in the family, that where the bracha came from, or actually where the shayrish of this chus of Shalshelis Bricks comes out from the original. His name was also Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the first. The time of Chaim Elojan started out to be a great Osher, and then the tables were turned. So just a very interesting observation. We start Perek Yud Beis in the Nefesh HaChaim, but we want to look just at the first piece on the sheet that we have here. Then we go to the Nefesh HaChaim. And just as a wonderful pshat of Reb Chaim, and this has to do with just the finishing touches of what we learned and discussed last week, about where the Nefesh HaChaim points out Godless Odom, even greater than Malochim. So here's another aspect where this becomes evident. Practically speaking, Godless Odom, even higher than Malochim. This is brought down in the Sefer Imrachim from Yehuda Levenberg, Choshev Talmud Chochem, actually in Lakewood. Many Chalokim Imrachim, but in the Hagdomah. And this is a well-known vort, but we have it in print over here, so from the Sefer I have it here. If we take a look here, Kvar Noide Bishar Bais Rabim, it's known Bishar Bais Rabim Divrei Morin HaGrach Zatzal, Reb Chaim said, Demrinen B'matbeya Shel Amiris Kedusha. When we say Kedusha, we say the following words. We say, Lu'umosom Baruch Yomeru. The Malachim say Baruch, Lu'umosom, in the face of the others. What does it mean, Lu'umosom? Malachim say Baruch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lu'umosom, facing the others. What does it mean, facing the others? What is the intent of that phrase? V'koshe ma'u ha'kavono b'zeh. V'omar, so Reb Chaim said, Al-Pima Disa B'Megillah of Gimel Omad Beis. The Gemara says, Megillah Om Rabchi Barabba. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Om Akro, we know from the Pasuk, V'nikdashti B'soich B'nei Yisrael, Kedusha has to be said among B'nei Yisrael. And the Gemara learns out, it means that Kol Dover She'B'Kedusha Lo Yehei Pochus Ma'asorah. Kaddish cannot be said unless you have a minion. Kaddish is a Dover She'B'Kedusha, it's called Kaddish. Kedusha is a Dover She'B'Kedusha. You need a minion. Without a minion, you cannot say Kedusha. Because V'nikdashti, when we sanctify Hashem's name with something which has a shame of Kedusha, Kedusha can only be said with a minimum of a minyan yidin. It has to be b'soich b'nei Yisrael. What is the minimum of b'toich b'nei Yisrael? The Gemara learns out, it's a minyan, 10 yidin. So v'im kein. So being that this is a halacha, that you need a minyan in order to say Kedusha, we have an obvious kasha. Mikim shedovah shebikdusha nemeres, rak b'asoro, if dovah shebikdusha can only be said b'asoro, koshe, eich yecholim alache ashor esloim kedusha. How are Malachim able to say Kedusha? Harei have a Dover Shebikdusha. Kedusha is again, it's a Dover Shebikdusha. Ube Malachi Ashores Lo Yishayich Tzibur Shel Asorah. Malachim are not physical entities. There's no such thing as being Mitzarif, one Malach with another. Davke by Bnei Yisrael, when you're dealing with people, you have an Eda. You have a Shem of an Eda. You have a Shem of a Tzibur. Let's understand something. A Tzibur is not merely 10 Yechidim. But a tzibur, as Rambam tells us in Vayikra, a tzibur becomes one entity of a tzibur. You have 10 members, maybe. You can have 100 members. Klal Yisrael are one tzibur. Shutfim, Rabbi Isai, is not the same as tzibur. You have a korban tzibur and you have a korban shutfim. Korban shutfim means that you have two individuals, shutfim. Tzibur is not 100 individuals, 100 shutfim, 50 shutfim. Tzibur is one entity, made up as many members that you may have. But all of them are collectively one body. Question is, being that there's no concept of a tzibur, there's no concept of a tzibur by Malachim, so how is it possible that Malachi Ashars are able to say Kedusha? And Reb Chaim suggested the following, Elo demrinim b'chul daf tzadik aleph omad beis, and we learned it also in the Nefesh HaChaim last week. The Gemara says in Chulm that Ein Malachi Ashars oimrim shira lemailo at sheyoimru Yisrael lemato. One of the indications that Malachim take second place to B'nai Yisrael is the fact that Malachim have to stand and wait And they cannot say Shira, they cannot say Kedusha until B'nai Yisrael say it down here. Shenemar, as the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, first it says, Beron Yachad Koich Veboiker. Beron is Loshin Rino. Who sings first? Beron Yachad. There is a singing of togetherness, Koich Veboiker, means the B'nai Yisrael that are compared to the stars. Then it says, V'hoder, afterwards the Pasuk says, Vayariu called B'nai Elikim. B'nai Elikim is referring to the Malochim. Vayariu B'nai Elikim. In order for the B'nai Elikim to be able to shout, so to speak, to be able to say their Kedusha, that's afterwards. First is Baron Yachad Koich Veboiker. That's the Gemara. Ein Shom. What does it mean? What is the yisoid of this halacha? Reb Chaim understands. What is the base of this halacha? That Malochim have to wait and to say Shira until B'nai Yisrael say first. Now you might remember Nefesh HaChaim had his own mahalach in that. Nefesh HaChaim and Pshat is because Kedusha is not stam an amira. It's not stam to say Kedusha, to mention some words. But Kedusha, when you say Kedusha, Reb Chaim pointed out, you're actually elevating the higher worlds. Malochim don't have the ability to do that. Malochim cannot do that until the B'nai Yisrael first charged with their Kedusha. They are now elevating the world. So now Malochim, through the Koyach of Odom, also have the ability to achieve and to accomplish when they say Kedusha. But it's only because the movement has already begun, has been started through the B'nai Yisrael. Reb Chaim suggests a different reason. Reb Chaim Brisker suggests the reason that Malochim cannot say Kedusha until B'nai Yisrael, because Malochim Bechlal have a problem with saying Kedusha because you need Asara. And Malochim themselves cannot make up a Tzibur. Says Reb Chaim Bahabir, where the Gemara means that Malochim wait for B'nai Yisrael, the Af Legabe Malach HaShoris, that even though, regarding Malochim Lo Shayich Behen Tzibur, Ube'atzmom on their own, Enam Yechoyim Lo Yim Kedusha, Mekol Mokim La'acha De Yisrael Oyim Kedusha Basara, but once that Yidin down here are saying Kedusha Basara, Yechoyim Malachi HaShoris Lehitztarif Yachad La'atzibur Shal Yisrael Lo Yim Kedusha. Okay, it's also a Kiddush. But upon what it means is that Malochim on their own cannot create a din in the halach of a tzibur. But once you have a creation of a tzibur through the B'nai Yisrael, Malochim merely have to be connected, to be mitzar of themselves to the B'nai Yisrael, and therefore they already are able to say Kedusha based upon the fact that the entity of tzibur, the concept of tzibur, has been created by B'nai Yisrael. If that is true, says Reb Chaim, so B'zem is boyer, so now we can also understand. He says, Ma she'oimrim b'kedusha shel tfilas musaf. We say, Kevoidom aloyoylom. Where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor reside? And the answer is, and then it says, L'umosom Baruch Yomeru. What does it mean? It says, B'chayim, the Pshat comes out wonderful. That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu's COVID fills the entire world, but the Malachim are asking the question, where is the Mokim? How do we have the ability? Show me the place we are able to say Kedusha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, you need a din of a tzibur, and we don't have a loch of a tzibur. And the answer is, V'zehu damrinen, le'umosom, facing Klal Yisrael. That's what the le'umosom mean. On their own, the Taki cannot say it. But le'umosom baruch yomeiru ha'ine le'umas Klal Yisrael, kesheheinu imre Kedusha. So when Klal Yisrael themselves are saying Kedusha, Rak oz baruch dahayne kedusha, baruch means kedusha, yomeru the malachei hashoras. So here again we see a very wonderful pshat. We see the malachim on their own cannot say kedusha, they cannot say this kind of ishira. They have to wait and to come on to the Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael down here. They say kedusha first, and only then do the malachim have the ability to say it. So now we go Rabbi Yisai, and we move on here with Perik Yud Beis. So here in Perek Yud Beis, Reb Chaim in Nefesh HaChaim basically discusses the repercussions of man's actions. That's basically the subject matter of Perek Yud Beis. The repercussions of man's actions. And Reb Chaim starts out and he says as follows. Uma shehanaran shel ha'odom. You might remember, as was mentioned already in Perek Yud, that Reb Chaim there pointed out, first of all, we know that man's neshama is made up of three parts. The Rosh HaTevis, again, in the Balam Mekubalim is naran. Naran is nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Nefesh being the lowest level, Ruach being the next level above it, and the Neshama being the higher level. And the Nefesh HaChaim pointed out to us in Perek Yud that as great as the Neshama of man is, it's a Chelek HaLekai Mimal, it comes from the Kisei HaKovet, but the ability that we see that man is capable, as we pointed out, through his actions, through his deeds, to destroy worlds, to build worlds, to be able to elevate higher worlds, the Neshama, as great as she is, needs the physical body of man. And until the Neshama actually descended and went into the physical body of man, Vayipach Ba'abov Nishmas Ruach, Nishmas Chai, so the din is, but the Metzias comes out, that the Neshama does not have the ability to do it. It needs the physical body of man. So B'chaim points out as follows, Umashe Hanaran Shel Odom. That which we mentioned, that the three levels of a person's neshama, which is nefesh, ruach, and neshama, ein b'yicholosom lekasher oylemus, we pointed out that they do not have the ability to connect and to elevate the upper worlds ad ridetom lamala beguf odom, until the neshama actually comes down, until the neshama really comes down and enters the human body. Kiniske Leel beperek Yud, as was mentioned in Perek Yud. And Reb Chaim points out the Sibah for this. Why is that so? That the Neshama of man, which is the, of course, the Neshama is much higher than the Guf. And as great as the Neshama is, does not have the ability to do and to achieve until actually it enters man's body. The reason is because Kilisakin Oilam Ha'asiyah. Because in order to rectify this world is called the Oilam Ha'asiyah, the world of action. So in order to have the ability to rectify, to be misakin this world, the olam ha'asiyah, the olam of action, so behechrech lehislabesh beguf b'olam ha'maisa. So therefore, the neshama has to enter human body in the physical world. V'chei motzinu kama mikroyes ha'medabrim b'ilu ha'gimel b'chines anal. Reb Chaim tells us there are many psukim that tell us about the three different levels, but all the three levels, in order to be able to rectify this world is called the Olam Ha'asiyah, the Olam of Action, so therefore it has to enter the physical world. The physical world is this world. This world is the physical world, is the Olam Ha'asiyah. The Neshama, unless it's part of the Olam Ha'asiyah, cannot be misaking this world, which is the Olam Ha'asiyah. Now, just to understand just a little bit better, just let's make one Hakdoma. And that is according to the Zohar HaKodesh, which is very fundamental. There are basically four worlds. The Rosh HaTevis is Abia, Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. The highest world is called the Olam HaAtzilus. That's the Aleph. Then comes the Beis. The next world is the Olam HaBria. Then is the Olam HaYitzira. And the Ayin is the Olam HaAsiya. That's the lowest level. That's our world. That's what Reb Chaim is referring to. Kilisakin Olam HaAsiya. That is the lower world. In other words, just very, very briefly, the highest world, the first of the four, the Olam HaAtzilus, literally translated is the world of the emanations. What it means basically is the world of the divine, which means that's the world that is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Olam HaAtzilus, the world of the divine. Next comes what we know is the Olam HaBriya, the world of creation. The world of creation, not talking about this world. The Olam HaBriya is referring to the world of the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Kisei HaKovet is. The Kisei HaKovet, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, that's in the Olam HaBriya. Then comes the lower world after that. Below that, there's the Olam HaYetzirah. That's the world of the Malachim. And Olam HaAsiyah, the world of action, that's our world. The world of the human, of human beings. In general, this is Olam HaZeh, this is Olam HaAsiyah. So therefore, as Reb Chaim points out, that in order to be able to rectify this world, which is the Olam HaAsiyah, it's necessary for the Neshama also to enter human body, which is in the physical world. Now, Reb Chaim goes on to tell us, regarding the concept that was mentioned, regarding the concept that our maisim, that our deeds, have an impact in higher worlds, says Reb Chaim the following, Be'inyan ha-hisayris shilamaylo al yedei b'chines ha-maisim. Regarding the concept that our maisim is able to create the hisayris lamaylo, that our actions down here have an impact in the upper worlds, as we mentioned many times, and Reb Chaim mentioned it many, many times. So regarding that, we find the Dovra Melech Olav HaSholem that he said the following. And we all know that Posik. The Posik we say in the Davening in Shabbos also. We say, HaYotzer Yachad Libom HaMeivin El Kol Maseim. The Dovra Melech says in Tillem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, that he fashioned their hearts of the people, right? That's HaYotzer Yachad Libam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned the hearts of the people. Not only that, HaMevin El Kol Maseyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, he comprehends all the deeds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands every pu'ula, every move that we make. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands your machshavis, your kavonis, your purpose, your tachlis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a maven, it says, El Kol Maseyim. Reb Chaim is medayik, he says that actually, grammatically, the posuk should have been written. The fipshutoi, hoyeroy loimer, the posuk should have said, HaMevin Kol Maseyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comprehends all their deeds, not the El, because El means towards their deeds. What's the towards? What does it mean, HaMevin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comprehends everything, right, towards their deeds? What's the towards? HaMevin Kol Maseyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, he comprehends everything that they do. What's the El? What's the HaMevin El Kol Maseyim? So Reb Chaim says here again, Reitz Eloimar. So there Reb Chaim says, you know what El Kol Maseyim means? The Pasuk intends to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu discerns HaNoigeya LeMaseyim. Not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, understands what you're doing, knows what you're doing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes the consequences of your action. The consequence where your actions are leading to. Shehu HaYotzrom Yizborach Shemoi. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically who fashioned man, HaYodea Umevin. And by the way, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to know how far-reaching the devastating effects or the very positive constructive effects. Arhechem Maseyem Agiyim. To know how far a person's actions have impacted. V'noigim b'tikune oylemus, and therefore they have achieved rectifying, elevating upper worlds. Oylehepechaz v'sholem. Or maybe the opposite. So the Pasuk says, so Reb Chaim actually does this idea, this notion, that man, through his actions down here, has far-reaching effect in the upper world, and Reb Chaim showed already from various different psukim as well, but he suggests that that's also the kavanah what David HaMelech is saying. And David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a maven el kol maseim, which means the direction where your maisim are going. What does it mean? It means that when you're doing a maisa down here, the tremendous impact that it has in the upper worlds. Hein l'toiv, and as Reb Chaim says, oyle hepechaz v'sholem. That's HaMevin El Kol Maseyim. And Reb Chaim doesn't stop there. And the Nefesh HaChaim continues and he says, that V'chein Keheles Omar. Also we find Shlomo HaMelech says in Keheles, he says, Ki es kol maseh holikim yovi b'mishpot al kol nela. Now, Poshet Pshat, by the way Rashi teaches in Keheles, and the Nefesh HaChaim departs from that Pshat and says a different Pshat, and Agavrucha, the Pshat that Nefesh HaChaim here suggests, is actually one can see and mashma that that's in fact with the Targum, how the Targum was Pshat in the Posik. The way Rashi was Pshat in the Posik, let's look at the Posik again. Ki es kol maseh hu alekim, there should be sort of like a comma after the word maise, which means like this. Ki es kol maise, no matter what you do, hu alekim yovi b'mishpat, you will stand in judgment. Al kol nelam on everything that even if it might be hidden. You think nobody knows, nobody saw it? Because Baruch Hu will judge you on all of your maise. Let's look at the pasuk again. There's a separation according to the simple pshat, the way Rashi understands between the word maise and the word holikim. The word holikim goes ahead. Ki es kol maise, right? Regarding all of your actions, comma, what about it? Holikim yavi b'mishpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to judgment. You'll be held accountable for everything you do. Reb Chaim says no. Reb Chaim Tain is that maise holikim goes together. Ki es kol maise holikim. So what's the intent of the posik? If you connect the word maise with the word holikim, says Reb Chaim as follows. Layomar, the posik doesn't say, it should have said, instead of starting, ki es kol maise holikim, in other words, if the kavon of the posik is merely to tell you, if the kavon of the posik is merely to tell you, the way Rashi understands, doesn't mention here Rashi, but if the kavon of the posik is merely to tell you that whatever you do, you stand in judgment, Reb Chaim says the Pasuk should have rather said, Vloyoma, it should have said, Ki holikim yovi b'mishpat is kol maise. Kol Baruch Hu, right, will take you to task for everything you do. It says, Ki es kol maise holikim yovi b'mishpat. V'hainu, he says, the intent of the Pasuk is, Ki holikim perushoi again bala koiches kulam. As we said many, many times, and so is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. We have two different shemes. We have the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, and we have the Shem Elikim. There are different kavonis that a person is supposed to be mechavin when you see the Shem Yudkei Vavkei. When you say Baruch Atu Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. What are you thinking when you say, when you utter the Shem? When you see the Shem Yudkei Vavkei, a person has to have a mind. Yudkei Vavkei, Hoyo, Hoyve V'yir. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, he is, and will always be. That is the kavona in Shem Havaya, Yudkei Vavkei, Hoyo, Hoyve V'yir. What are you supposed to be mechavim when you have the Shem, the other Shem, the Shem Elikim? Elikim means Takif Ubal Yecholes Ubal HaKoyches Kulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. That basically, in a nutshell, in a simple way, that's what you have mechavim. When you, wherever you see, in the davening, you see the word Elikim. So what do you think about Hashem when you're saying Elikim? When Hashem is depicted with that Shem, when Hashem is being described by the Shem Elikim, what are you supposed to think about? When you're thinking about Hashem, you think about Hashem's power. That Hashem is the all-powerful. So, Vahainu, says Reb Chaim, being that this is the case, Ki Elikim Perusho Bal HaKoyches Kulon. So he says, now I'm an amazing pshat. Being that the word Elikim, that's already a given. That you don't need me for, says Reb Chaim. We know that. We know that Elikim, the Kavon of the Shem Elikim, means Bal HaKoyches Kulon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. So, Be'eis HaMoid HaAdom LeMishpot, which Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Kehelis, when a man is going, when the time comes, when the time comes that Hashem will judge a person, Lefonov Yisborach Shemoi, I want you to know, says Nefesh HaChaim, the Posk is telling us, Lo Yodoyinu Es HaMas HaLevado Kifi Shehi. Don't make a mistake and limiting the judgment. Do not think that Hashem is only going to judge you for the act itself as such, but rather Ach Yachshivu, but in Shemayim they will also reckon in Gam kol ma shegoram v'soivav al yidei maso. He will also be judged for all of the repercussions his actions had in the highest world. It's a frightening thought to behold. A person does an aveira, so did an aveira. So whatever that aveira, the yoinish of that aveira. Now, since we become aware that when you do an aveira, it's not just you did an aveira. You did an aveira, so mamela, you rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that's only one chelik of it. But it didn't end there. Whenever you do an aveira, what you also did is you have destroyed. You have literally destroyed upper worlds. You have dragged them down. You have lowered this world. You have lowered the upper worlds. You have lowered even the level of the malachim. As Reb Chaim told us, malachi likim oilim v'yardim boy. Whether angels go up or when angels go down, their madrega goes up and down, it fluctuates. And who does it depend on? Boy. Depends on the human being. That is the koyach of Adam. That is the tremendous far-reaching effect of an Adam. Says Reb Chaim, I want you to know when you stand in judgment, they're not only going to judge you for the actual maaseh, but how much damage did you cause? How much damage? What impact did you have in the chorbonus, in the oylem esal yoynim? Im toiv, both sides. The toiv avada, you'll get extra schar, not just for doing the mitzvah, but for all of the positive, tremendous elevation in kedusha that you have added through your maaseh in the upper worlds, that's all going to be included. Vimra, and also lehefich, if you cause destruction. B'chol ha'koyches v'oylemus, he says, in all of the higher worlds and so on. V'zehu omroi, ma'asehu elikim. Oh, that means like this. It's a very fascinating pshat. The word elikim in this context does not mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word elikim, according to Nefesh HaChaim, does not mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elikim is a key word or a code word meaning Baal HaKoyches Kulam. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. Guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you an all-powerful. You thought that when you're doing an action down here, so it's an isolated act and only has to be viewed from your standpoint, from where you're standing. I want you to know, when you do something, to define an act of a human being is defined as a Maisa Lakim. In other words, you have caused godly, your powers have godly reactions, which means it's so far-reaching. It's beyond human ability. It's beyond normal human ability. And that's what it means, Maisa Elikim. Maisa Elikim means you do something down here, and yet you have an effect in Shemayim. That's not a human koich. That's a Maisa Elikim. That's a bechina of Bala koich es kulon. So the Pozik says, Ki es kol Maisa Elikim. Maisa Elikim are the consequences of your actions. When you do something, you're doing something with a koich of Maisa Elikim. You are a Bal HaYecholes. You are a Bala koiches. Your actions here have actually had effect on the upper world, L'toiv L'ra. These consequences, which is called Ma'is Elikim, the tremendous power that you have, is called Ma'is Elikim. And that Yoved B'Mishpot, that will be taken in consideration. What was the Ma'aseh L'Kim? Was it a positive Ma'aseh L'Kim? Or was it the opposite? Was it a Ma'aseh L'Kim that brought Churban, that brought destruction? Okay, it's called Ma'aseh L'Kim. It's going on the man who has the power, the ability to do what's called Ma'aseh L'Kim. It's beyond human koiches. He stands down here, a person offer him an Adomo, and he has such far-reaching impact and effect on the upper worlds. The Ma'aseh L'Kim of a human being, the Ma'aseh L'Kim of a human being will be taken to task. His consequences, as Reb Chaim says, Hanagei El Ma'aseh. That's why he said El Kol Ma'aseh, as he said before. Not only the act itself, but El Kol Ma'aseh, the direction where your actions have reached and have affected. That's what it means, Ma'aseh L'Kim. And Reb Chaim goes on to say further, and he says, V'yomar. And he says now a tremendous thing further. It says, Ki es kol ma'aseh, ki es kol ma'aseh. Ki es means, as if to say, that. Should have said, ki al kol ma'aseh, that for everything that he does. What's ki es? It says, V'yomar, the Pesuk says, ki es kol ma'aseh. It doesn't say, V'loy, it doesn't say, ki al kol ma'aseh. He'll be held accountable for everything that he does. The inyan of ki es kol ma'aseh, says Reb Chaim, comes also to tell us another thing, another tremendous thing, again, in Gavlus Odom. Ho'inyan k'moy shomar, as we find a posuk in Eiv. In Eiv, the posuk says, ki poyal odom yishalem loy. What does it mean, ki poyal odom yishalem loy? It means when a man does something, he gets paid. Reb Chaim says it doesn't merely mean when a man does something, he will get paid. Reb Chaim is going to tell us the act itself is going to pay you. The act that you have done, ki poyal odom, the ma'aseh that you have done, yishalem loy, that's going to pay you. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean if I do a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself is going to pay me? What does it mean, the mitzvah that I have done, the mitzvah is going to give me a reward? What does it mean? So here comes the Nefesh HaChaim, it tells us the following. V'ukimoychen is bayar l'maylo, as we learned above in Perek Vav b'Hago. In Perek Vav b'Hago, we didn't do every Hago l'maysa. But there was mentioned the following. Sheme'ei she'oila al toyar machsheve so odom lasis mitzvah. He says, from the moment when a person thinks of doing a mitzvah. Reb Chaim tells us, machshava of a person even. Forget about his deeds. Even the machshava of a mitzvah creates and achieves a tremendous impact. Namely, Reb Chaim tells us that al toyer machshava sodom. When a person has a positive machshava lasis mitzvah, takeif nasa rishum elamalo. Even before you have done the mitzvah. So let's say I have a machshava that I'm ready to do a mitzvah. I want to do a mitzvah. The mere thinking about doing a mitzvah, the mere wanting to do a mitzvah, that does not go to waste. The machshava on its own already has a constructive and it has a beneficial effect in the higher worlds. As he points out, takeif nasa rishum elamalo, that machshava already leaves a roshim in shemayim bishor shoyu elyon in its upper roots. Namely, what does it do? Livnois velintoya kame oilemis v'koiches elyonim. That machshava already creates, it builds, it constructs all different types of power and elevations in the upper world. Kosov, as it's mentioned in Yeshaya, v'osim dvorai b'ficho, you have the power in toya shemayim, you basically are able to create new heavens, so to speak, new worlds, upper worlds, elevating them. That's also the koich of your actions. And ubemamoram zal, and also we know, as we say, the end of Masechtas Brachos, which is mentioned, and we say in the davening, we say, v'chol b'nayich limudei Hashem, al tikra b'nayich, not only your children, ela b'nayich, your builders. It means that through our actions of Torah mitzvahs, we build. We are builders. What do we build? We're building tremendous oilemis. We are elevating oilemis. We are creating new oil, new light. We are creating kedusha. Kemoi k'savnu l'maylo. U'mameyle, says Reb Chaim, so it doesn't stop there. Reb Chaim now continues on. Reb Chaim says further. Reb Chaim says, so ultimately says, u'mameyle mis'oirer u'mamshich gam olof oir makif. So now, here's what happens. A very interesting thing. Reb Chaim tells us the procedure. Before even a person completed a mitzvah. And by the way, it's talking that a person would sometimes start a mitzvah and you don't have the schiyah to complete it. What really gives a person the power to go ahead and achieve that which he sets out to do? The koyach of the machshava is not stam a machshava, but it generates a force of energy. A machshava generates a force of energy of kedusha. Namely, number one, it leaves a reishim lamala, it creates a reishim lamala, and already, as we point out, has a beneficial constructive effect on the upper worlds. Now, as a result of that, which means that a holy celestial light, a holy light of Kedusha, is reflected back on him. His machshavah, which created Kedusha in Shemayim, so now it comes back, it's like a circle. His machshavah creates Kedusha in Shemayim. That Kedusha now comes and surrounds him. He is surrounded with an Oyer Makiv. He is surrounded with a holy light, right, which is reflected on him. That Oyer of Kedusha, he says, that Oyer of Kedusha, Vehu HaMisayoy LeGomre, that helps him carry out the mitzvah. So in other words, a man actually, we say, Habol Atayr, we say many times, Misayoy Soy. A person wants to do a mitzvah, wants to purify himself, Shomayim helps him. The truth is, he himself created the energy for that. Because by thinking even, just about doing a mitzvah. So he said, the koyach of the machshava leaves the tremendous roshim in Shomayim, and it already builds worlds and builds Kedusha. It creates, right, tremendous light of Kedusha. That light of Kedusha shines down, it reflects upon him. So now man is enveloped by an oyer of Kedusha. That oyer of Kedusha, if you're in an environment of Kedusha, it's much easier to do a mitzvah. Difficulty to do a mitzvah is when you want to tear yourself away from the physical world. But when you're in an environment of Kedusha, totally consumed environment of Kedusha, so how do you do it? You only want to do a mitzvah. So the oyer of Kedusha, through your machshava, is what's going to help you to be mekayim the mitzvah of the maise. The machshava is going to lead the maise through the oyer of Kedusha that was created through your machshava. V'acha goyim ha-mitzvah. Now afterwards, once you already have completed the mitzvah, you know what happens? The light of Kedusha goes back to Shemayim. Once the light of Kedusha has reflected upon you and it completed its goal, so now the light of Kedusha goes back to Shemayim. And what does it do? Listen to this. So he says, V'acha goyim ha-mitzvah, it's tremendously fascinating. He says, after you have already completed the mitzvah, ha-kedusha v'hoyer mistalik lishorsha. So now he says, what happens is that all of this light, this holy light, returns to a source. V'zehu, now look what he says. This is something probably no one heard before. V'zehu inyan schar ho'olam habo. Listen to this definition. This now becomes the schar of olam habo, which is the reward, right? The reward that you have created through your mitzvah. Meaning, he says, shumase yideyod amatzmoy. You have created your olam habo. She'acha pridas nafshe ma'aguf. That after 120, when your neshama will leave your body, where does it go? It goes to olam habo. So we always know, the way we always understood it is, there's a place called Gan Eden Shemayim, right? That's the way we always understood it. That's the normal understanding. Right? There's a Gan Eden Shemayim. Well, according to how much you deserve, right? You're going to go in Gan Eden. You're going to take your place in Gan Eden. According to Reb Chaim, the reward of olam habo is not that there's a place called Gan Eden and you go to that Gan Eden. No. You go to the Gan Eden that you have created. Every person creates his own Gan Eden. By doing a mitzvah, we have created the oyer. This oyer, just starting out even with the machshov already. That will help you be messiah you, that helped you and assisted you to be able to complete the mitzvah. Now that you've done the mitzvah, mission completed, that oyer shel kedusha goes back and is waiting for your neshama to come and bask in the glory of that oyer. That'll already be eternal. That'll be forever. So how much Gan Eden are you going to have as how much oyer you have created? You know, if you have higher batteries, right? You have stronger batteries, the light is stronger. You have weaker batteries, weaker voltage, the oyer, the light, is weaker. Your mitzvah creates oyer. That's the battery. That's what charges. That's what creates that oyer. Starke mitzvah. Tremendous mitzvah. Greater oyer. Greater Gan Eden for you. You create your own Gan Eden. Every man's Gan Eden, when we talk about Olam Haba, is the Olam Haba that you have created. It's not that there's a Gan Eden over there. This is Reb Chaim's mahal. Not everybody goes with that mahal. This is Reb Chaim and Nefesh HaChaim. It's a fascinating thing. That's the Schar, he says, Olam Haba. Shumase yidei hodo matzmoy. Again, she'acha predas nafshoy me'aguf. that finally when a person's neshama leaves his body, it is sent to the Gan Eden to be able to enjoy, to delight, the neshama will be able to delight in the spiritual joys of the higher worlds, that grew, that's the Gan Eden where your neshama is going to bask in. The Gan Eden that your neshama is going to bask in is the Gan Eden that you have created through your Ma'asim Tovim. So there isn't just a general idea of an Olam Haba, and you go to that Olam Haba. In other words, there's a lot of, you imagine that there could be 5 million seats, rows of seats, and if you deserve, you may sit in the front row. If not, you'll be in the middle row, maybe even the back row. Back row in the Gan Eden is also not too bad. Okay? Back row in Gan Eden is better than a front row in Gehenim. So Al Kaponim, that's not the idea. The Gan Eden you go to is the Gan Eden that you have created. The Olam Haba that you have created through your mitzvah. So we are responsible for our own Gan Eden. If we realize that, that puts us into a different perspective and a frame of mind in terms of what Achrayus should be. I think we should stop at this nekuda here. We'll continue much next week and take a look at the sheet because there's a couple of fascinating things that we should try to finish. So let us take a look, Rabbi Yisai, at the sheet. Having said what we have seen, what we have learned right now, we take a look here, the second item on the sheet. And this is going to actually be something similar to what we have learned. That a person's Gan Eden is as much as you have made it. No two people's Olam Haba is alike. Your Olam Haba is the Olam Haba that you have created through your Ma'asim. If more, more, better, better. Or a weaker Olam Haba. A weaker Gan Eden. A shvacher Gan Eden. It's what you have made for yourself. That's going to be your Gan Eden. Similar idea. Says here in Pirkei Avos, brought down the Sefer Mishalov, it's brought down others for him as well. This following word, it's the Haflo actually. The Haflo, which is in the Hagdom of the Chiddush Haflo, the Rebbe, the Chassam Sefer. But in Perik Beis, in Mishnah Yisavos, it says they have a Zoy b'mitzvah kala b'kachmura. A person should be careful equally about to do all mitzvahs. A person should discriminate. He says, I'm only going to do right, the mitzvahs chamuris. The very important mitzvahs, so-called. No. Be careful to do even what's called a mitzvah kala, even what appears to be the easy mitzvahs, the light mitzvahs. Shein atu yedei matan schor and shol mitzvahs, because you don't really know what is the schar of any mitzvah. So you don't know. So you're going to pick and choose. You may pick and choose the wrong thing, because you don't really know which mitzvah gives you the maximum schar. So we have over here, Rabbi Yisai, Hiksha agoyin repinichas alevi horavitz atzal, balaflo, in the Hagdom of Chidush Haflo Nashas. He asked the following question. If you don't really know to evaluate the schar of a mitzvah, it says, right? The Mishnah says further, it says, have a mechashev hefsed mitzvah kineged schara. But before a person decides to abandon a mitzvah, because let's say you assume you have something more important to do, you can earn a lot of money instead of doing the mitzvah, make a cheshbon, first of all, how much you're going to gain by not doing the mitzvah, and how much are you going to lose, right? How much schar are you going to lose by abandoning the mitzvah? But the question is, how can I calculate cheshbonis if I don't know how much a mitzvah gives me, and I don't know how much to lose either? You just told me now, I don't know shenat yedem adn schor shel mitzvahs. So keitzed yikai modem is having mechash of hefsed mitzvah keneged schorot. The Mishnah said that we should calculate the importance of a mitzvah, how much you stand to lose if you don't do the mitzvah, and so on and so forth. How can I make all these cheshbonis? How can I make an accounting of that if I b'chlal don't even know what the schar of a mitzvah entails? So Haflo says the following chiddush. V'tiritz al pi hamuvah b'gemara, there's a ma'aseh mesechta schulim daf pei zayin. The Gemara says this following. Ma'aseh bechot, there was a ma'aseh of a person, sheshochat. There was a person that shechted an animal. Now, actually, when I say shechted an animal, you know there's different halachis, whether you shecht an animal or you shecht a bird. If you shecht an animal, then there is no din of kisu adam. If you shecht a bird, then there's a din of kisu adam. Here we're talking about the mitzvah of kisu adam, so then we're talking about not shechting an animal, really, we're talking about shechting a bird. There was a ma'aseh that a person that shechted, and of course the next step would have been, what would be the next step? To take offer, and cover the blood. It's a beferish mitzvah in HaTorah that you have to do kisu adam. Turns out somebody came and he chaptoiz the mitzvah. Somebody, the shochet checked it, so kisa adam is his mitzvah. Somebody was standing nearby, he wanted to grab a mitzvah, so he went right away, he picked up a clod of earth, or a glob of earth, and he went, he was machasa adam. So it comes out, Reuven checked it, he was supposed to do the kisa adam was his mitzvah, Shimon comes and steals the mitzvah away from him. Maise bechot sheshochat, v'kodem chavere v'kisa adam, the hainu chotev is a mitzvah, he says, right, he grabbed it away, v'chayvur v'gimlil litnloy asora zehuvim. And Gamliel paskin that he owes him 10 zehuvim. In other words, you took away a mitzvah. It seems that he evaluated the mitzvah. What's worth a mitzvah? Right? If I steal something from you, I have to pay back the value of the item. If you steal a mitzvah, so what's the compensation? So the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Gamliel was machayv. You stole the mitzvah of Kis Adam. You owe him 10 zehuvim. Well, let's say it's $10. How do you put a label on a mitzvah, 10 zehuvim? What does it mean? Maybe a million zehuvim. Where does Rabbi Gamliel come to impose this figure, Asara Zehuvim? V'lechayre Asara Zehuvim b'davkal shumor. Where does this figure come that to compensate him by stealing the mitzvah from him, that he pays him 10 Zehuvim? Says the Haflo, and here's what the Haflo says. El Rabbi Gamliel nokav skum b'yalme. The Haflo suggests that Rabbi Gamliel just, Rabbi Gamliel merely designated a figure. What do you mean? As a test. He designated a figure, by mentioning that figure, Bikesh Livdoik, he wanted to test the person at Kameshova HaMitzvah Be'einov Shel Bala Mitzvah Amiti. He wanted to test, what is the mitzvah worth to you? What the flaw is trying to say is, it's an amazing thing, and again, it's a frightening thing, and maybe if we think about that, we should stop to think every time when we do a mitzvah, our attitudes. We always know this tremendous schar for a mitzvah. There's tremendous schar for a mitzvah. According to the Aflo, you know how much the schar of a mitzvah is? What the mitzvah is worth to you. If the mitzvah is worth to you only $5, that's all you're going to get. It's a scary thing. If the mitzvah is worth to you $1 million, that's your schar. In other words, you are kiveya the schar of your mitzvah. The Aflo suggests, when Rabbi Gamliel says that the ganav should pay to the shoychit, 10 zehuvim, would expect it that the shoychit would say, what do you mean 10 zehuvim? It's worth $1 million. He wanted to see. He didn't say anything. He said, okay, he was content with 10 zehuvim. If you're content with 10 zehuvim, that's all the mitzvah is worth. That's how the Haflo suggests. The Haflo says, let's just go to the next paragraph. V'alpizeh novin. Hatana pisayach, the Tana begins. First he says, have a zoya b'mitzvah kala b'kachmura. Be careful to do all the mitzvahs. Shein after your day matan schon shom mitzvahs. You know why? Now we have a new understanding. You know why you don't know the schar of a mitzvah? Because the schar of a mitzvah is not the same by anyone. The schar of the mitzvah is according to how you value the mitzvah. So being that the schar of the mitzvah is according to how much you value it, v'zois mishum shebehemes ein kitzvah l'schar ha-mitzvahs. There is no fixed amount of reward. Ach im kach t'mu'e. But then the question is, if there's no fixed reward, if there's no fixed, so the Tana goes on further to explain what we said. If there's no fixed char, so what is it? So how much is paid? So the Tana goes further. We tell you to make the cheshem. According to the cheshem that you make, if you say to yourself, davening with minyan is worth to me $50, then that's all that the schar of that mitzvah is for you. If to you it's worth more, then the schar of the mitzvah. That's what it means, have a mechashev, because you make the calculation according to what it's actually worth to you. So it means that a person, let's say, can learn a blad gemara, could be sitting and learning, and it comes out, he has an opportunity to make $20, and he closes the gemara. He has now shown that $20 is worth more than a blad gemara. Well, you know what? That's your blad gemara for you. It's under $20. It has to be less than $20. It's a frightening thing, according to the Aflo. This is the way the Aflo understands this. And Mamela, he says, and we have this in the bold letters here. V'ayinu kol odom be'atzmoy al piho erech shemiyaches lemitzvahs olaveres, according to how you evaluate the cheshivas of the mitzvah and the cheshivas of an avera, koyvea u'machashev eschore b'kim ha-mitzvahs ves onchoy be'averes. He points out, here he gives a practical moshel. Im lemoshel chilel odom Shabbos chas v'cholila. Let's say a person was machal Shabbos because he wanted to earn $5. Right? Temura asasora zehuvim. What has he shown? Nimtzo, he has now shown, Shekach yikor v'cheshuv ebein of HaShabbos. He showed that the Shabbos is worth no more than 10 zehuvim. Valkein gam schoroi t'mura shmira Shabbos, yeah, he says, asora zehuvim. That's a frightening thing. So the parallel that we see over here, like we just learned in Nefesh HaChayim. What is Gan Eden? What is Olam Haba? Gan Eden is what you have made it. You have your own Gan Eden. You have your own Olam Haba. Schar of your mitzvahs, we see from that floor, is also what you make of it. Reuven and Shimon both put on tefillin. Reuven and Shimon both will do the same mitzvah. And yet Reuven will have 10 times as much schar as Shimon. Both did the same mitzvah. And by the way, they did it with the same bren. With the same kavanah. But if Reuven evaluates, to him the mitzvah is choshev so much more, his schar is all that much more. The Odom, the Yatzmoy, says the Haflor. It's a tremendous chiddush. So I want to show you Reb Chaim Shmulevitch. In one of the Shmuzin says the same thing. Shcham Shez is much, much later, of course. But let's take a look. A few lines. Reb Chaim, this is number 3. Chaim Shmulevitch is in Maimar Choftes, Tovshin Lamed Aleph. It's the middle of an essay. And Reb Chaim says as follows. He says, Hine Yedua HaKusha. He says, it's very well known, the Kasha. We know when it comes to Rishoyim, we have a klal schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. Kodesh Baruch does not pay schar on this world. He reserves the schar to Olam Haba. It's much more than Olam Haba. This world, it's all limited. But Rishoyim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, gives them all the schar in this world. In the next world, they have nothing left. The lashon of the pasuk is, "Umishalim l'soynov el ponov lahavidoy." Kodesh Baruch Hu pays to the enemies. The Rishoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pays them, even enemies. Even Rishoyim also have mitzvahs, here and there. They did a mitzvah here, they did a mitzvah there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them, lahavidoy, means to take them away from Olam Haba. So the question is, Reb Chaim asks, Chaim Shmulevitch asks, v'harayom ruzchar mitzvah b'hayal melekeh. We know that the reason that there's no schar in this world, hainu mipnei she'ein b'chol cholol olam hazeh. There's not enough in this entire world kedei lishalom schar mitzvah achas. There's not enough resources in the entire world. There's not enough resources even to pay for one mitzvah. Therefore, schar mitzvah is not paid on this world. So the eichu ba'meh mishtalim lahem schar mitzvah. So how when it comes to Rishoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him on this world? There's not enough resources in this world to pay him for one mitzvah. So how come when it comes to Rishoyim, does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu underchange them? Does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them less than they deserve? Says Reb Chaim, now look at the words of Reb Chaim. U'mezeh onu lameidim yisoid mavil. Mavil. It's Mavil al Arayin. We learn a frightening Yisoid. What's the frightening Yisoid? She'erach haschar hamagia lo'odom avrukiu mitzvah. Eino yoyser is not more. Mima shohodom atzmoy marich u'machshiv es ha-mitzvahs. The schar is not more. And by the way, this answers the famous kasha. Yaakovino buys the b'choyra from Esav with the Nezid Adashim. Is that a fair deal? Esav was tricked. Was he not cheated? He did not know the value. He did not know the value. If someone has a diamond, and he just does not know it's a diamond, he thinks it's a plain stone, and he sells it to you, right, for $3, but you know it's a diamond, you have a chiv to tell him. You have a chiv to tell him. You know that you're selling me something. You don't know. He doesn't know. So how is that Yaakov Avinu buys the entire b'chor from Nezid Adashim? For a pot of lentils. All of the fortune in the world does not amount to the value of Bechayre. How does this deal, right? How is this deal valid? We know if you defraud someone more than a sixth Smekach bottle, the deal is over. Bottle Amekach. Here he was defrauded many, many times over. Kol hoin de yalme cannot pay for the value of Bechayra. And here he bought it for Nezid Adashim. The answer is, says Reb Chaim, very poshut. Ela ma'acha she'esav hino ha'balam ala Bechayra. Who owns the Bechayra at this time? Esav. To him, it's not worth more than Nezid Adashim. It's not worth more. The erech and the value of a mitzvah is according to how much it's worth to you. If the Esav of the Bechayra wasn't worth more, it's not worth more. Being that Esav was not marach, did not value it more than a Nezid Adashim, it's not that he was cheated, it's not worth more. His Bechayr is not worth more. Esav's Bechayr is not worth more. Yaakov's Bechayr is going to be worth a lot more. Kol Hoin the Yalm is not going to be able to pay for it. But what Esav is giving over, Esav is giving over a very cheap bechayre. Why is it cheap? Because to him it's not worth more. If to him it's not worth more, it's taken not worth more. He says, ki erech hadovar nerach, because the value of something is evaluated, al pimashu hu shove be'enei bolov. Look what he says here in brackets. Vim ben toire soigiris agimore. And if a ben toire closes his gemara biklal hefsid mesuyim, because of a particular hefsid, Hare Toirosoi Eino Shove Koise Hefsid Chaz V'Sholem, he says, because we are nechshel in this many, many times. Akoponim Valkein Yitochin Behechlet. So Avada, clearly, absolutely, it is possible, appropriate, Lishalem L'Rishoyim Schorim Boilam Azeh. You know why? Because they don't value the mitzvahs much more anyway. So all the mitzvahs that they have done, what is the mitzvahs worth to them? In their eyes, it's worth very, very little. It's taken not worth more. V'hu Ho'erech Shemarichim Batzimun Samitzvahs. The value. And this again, what the Nefesh HaChaim says, that's our Olam Haba, that's our Gan Eden, the Gan Eden that each and everyone has built. I just want to be Messiah. We won't do the whole sheet, but just mamish three lines. And this is actually from Reb Shlomo Volbe from Sefer Al Ashur, brought down a Sefer called Meshuv Nefesh, number 4. Turn the sheet on the side, and he brings down from Rav Hutner. He brings down a Moir Digi Memri. You know, Rabbi Sai, people sit and they hear stories about great tzaddikim who is zoichet to have gilu eliyahu. In other words, Eliyahu HaNovi revealed themselves. They say it by many tzaddikim. By the way, in the Hagdoma to the Lev Eliyahu of Rebbe Lapian is brought down that Rebbe Lapian, number of incidences where he had gilu eliyahu, going back as late as our time. There's even a story there that Rav Sholem Shvadron brings down, that the Imre Emes, he was masik with Ruach HaKodesh, he met Rebbe Lapian, he said to him, that in that time you had gilu eliyahu, and he was very embarrassed, sort of like to admit it. Personal hope for the Chassam Sofer of Adonavad and so on and so forth, the Gedoy Lo'ilam from as earlier back you go, we know many, many stories of Gilu Eliyahu. Tzadikim had Gilu Eliyahu. So a person would hope to have the schus one day to be able to be Zoichet to have Gilu Eliyahu. Says Rav Hutner, he says, Gilu Eliyahu. And what is Eliyahu? Eliyahu is Amalach. Godless Adam is greater than Amalach. If you're Zoichet to be not Gilu Eliyahu, Gilu Yatzmoy, to realize the chashivas of your neshama you have, that's more than Gilu Eliyahu. As great as Gilu Eliyahu is, it's only seeing a malach. Godless Adam Nefesh HaChaim told us is much greater than a malach. But we don't recognize it. We are not mevinim on our godless. We don't know what we have. We're not a maven on our talents. We don't understand Gedulas Adam, Kedushas Adam, what a neshama means. If we should be able to look within ourselves and reveal our own godless, Gilu Yatzimoy is greater than Gilu Eliyahu. Look at the words, how it's written over here. And Rav Shlomo Volbe brings it down. Maybe Rabbi says, I agree, Hutner says, it's about down there, Bal Pachad Yitzchok, Mosar, Kipam Yoshev HaSabim Slobotke. He told us about the altar of Slobotke, Hagoyin Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu. So the altar of Slobotke was sitting in Talmid of Hagdoylim. He was sitting with the great Talmidim v'hischil leharher b'koil. And he started saying, he was thinking out loud. And the Altos Sabotka was saying, Haneshomo gedoylem imalochim. The neshoma that any yid, that even a pushet yid, even a ish poshet, the neshoma that a person has is greater than a malach. Nimtzo. Shem yesh lo'odom gilu b'yatzmoy. If a person is able to descend, right, to descend, look into himself, Godul Gilui Zeh Megilu Eliyahu. Ach Kame Koshehu, however, he said, Lahagiyale is a Gilu Shalemus Al Atzmoy. But it's very difficult that a person really should be able to be a maven on his godless. He looks at himself, he says, he doesn't see it, doesn't understand it. That's a part of the hidden part that a Kosh Baruch blew on the shaman to a person. The person's not able to see it. Great people understand it. But you have to understand, as great as Gilu Eliyahu is, Gilu Yatzmoy is even greater. That is godless Hodom. Godless Amalochim on the one hand, but Alochim as great as they are, we learned, Le'umosom Baruch Yomeiru. The Malochim cannot say Kedusha unless Le'umosom, only because they are connected to the Avoid of Klal Yisrael. That is the tremendous godless that every Yid possesses. Every Yid, which means each and every Yid has that Koyach. So Avada, you can understand, if we have that Koyach, we have the opportunity, and we'll certainly, if we want it, we could have a little bit more Siyata Dishmaya to come a little bit closer to realizing Choshek, a little bit of our potential, Yerosan, we should be Zoyche.
Next year, we'll be with Hashem 2 weeks from tonight. Also, whoever wishes to give us their email,